This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, how we doing? Today is going to be really exciting because I have a really special guest here today, and it's Scott Maloney from Treat Dreams. If you're not sure what Treat Dreams is, it's a fabulous ice cream place here. Absolutely wonderful here in Michigan. So I'm sorry if you're from other states. Scott, can we get ice cream to other states?
Not at this time. No, you must come to Ferndale.
You must come to Ferndale, Michigan. However, you never know. Maybe that's in your future.
It could be.
You never know. Okay, here's the deal. This is why Scott's interview is so important right now. Because we are all in a big state of change right now. Whether that change was forced upon you or whether you chose it, it's about how to maximize the greatest potential for you to succeed and feel happy at what you do. So, Scott, give us a little bit of background of where you were and how you got to ice cream.
Sure. And I like how you say it's either forced upon you or you chose it. In my situation, it's a little bit of both. It was forced upon me, not that I lost my job or I saw an impending job loss coming.
Okay.
But I just had total dissatisfaction with what I've been doing for basically my entire adult career life. I was in banking or finance for 18 years. And probably 6 months into it, out of college, I realized that wasn't for me. Even though I'd spent 4 years in finance, and I went to CMU, and I thought that was the career path that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's so funny because you're making this choice when you're 18 years old, what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And a lot of people feel like that's, you know, once you make that decision, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I did that for 18 years. But about 6 months into it, I realized it wasn't for me. But it took a really, really, really long time, and that's really my only regret is that I didn't do and make the choices that I made in terms of starting a new career until so late. So it was really in the last, I mean, for those 18 years, I probably had 100 business ideas go through my head. And I mean, you name it. It was all over the board of what I could do. And it was more looking for an escape.
Okay, I want to ask you something. What, when you said, I knew or I felt that it wasn't right for you, what did that feel like? How did you know it wasn't right for you?
Yeah, it's hard to explain other than you just, your inner self, you know, that voice in your head. It's telling you that that's really not for you. But it just gets so much harder as you keep going to get out of that. You feel like you're in a box. You feel like after 5 years, okay, this is what I am. I'm a banker. I mean, I'm not really trained to do anything else. I've got this wealth of experience at it and I was good at it. But I never had that personal satisfaction, that internal satisfaction of what I'm doing. And I think you know. I mean, if you really ask yourself and you think hard about it, and you're true to yourself, I think that you know, you'll get that answer. You'll get that answer. Is this something that I can see myself spending another 10 years in, the rest of my career in,
mm-hmm.
or should I start looking for something else right now? And I mean, my advice would be: the younger you are, the easier it is to do something else. And just because you graduate from college with a certain degree, you made that decision probably when you're 19 years old. You're never too old to change your mind. There is no penalty for changing your mind.
I love that. And so as you're going along in your bank and you've had like ideas pop into your head and you're daydreaming about these other things.
Daydreaming is perfect.
I mean, because
I was a daydreamer. Absolutely. And some of them, I mean, looking back, you know, no, that would not have been right. No, that would not have worked. Ice cream was really, it's not, I didn't, you know, grow up wanting to own an ice cream store. I didn't, when I was in college, it wasn't, you know, to own an ice cream store. And even 10 years into my banking career, it wasn't to own an ice cream store. It was really in the last year that I was in banking that idea, one of many ideas, came to me. And you kind of go through this internal selection process in your head. And, you know, I can do this, I can't do that. I always enjoyed cooking and playing around in the kitchen. And, you know, ever since, you know, Food Network became popular, I'd watch those shows and Top Chef and Chopped. So I kind of gravitated towards that. I mean, starting all over again, out of high school, I'd probably go into culinary. And so I'd be trained in something. I wasn't trained in anything in the culinary field other than I know the food I like. And I'm a very, 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 very picky eater. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. But I wasn't trained. I couldn't open a restaurant. I didn't have that skill set. I thought I could do ice cream. So that's where that kind of decision kind of gravitated towards, okay, of all the things in the culinary world, what can you pull off?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two kids. Matthew's my son, and he's 15 years old, and Peyton is my daughter. She's 13 years old. So for, you know, 12 years, I've been taking them out for ice cream. And every town, not just in Detroit or Michigan or the U.S., every town has that local place where you show up at 6 o'clock and there's 20 people in line. And you go by at 9 o'clock at night and there's 20 people in line. Mm-hmm. So the numbers person, I am a numbers guy. Mm-hmm. The numbers part of it intrigued me and got my interest. And then I started thinking, well, how can I turn this into a business?
Do you remember the day when you were at work and you thought, this is going to be my last day, or I'm going to tell people that I'm leaving?
Yeah, yeah. It was a combination of excitement with a lot of anxiety. And because once you do that, once you say that, once you give it, you just jumped out of the plane. And you hope that you double-checked your parachute, and hopefully it'll open. So it was, when I came back, I gave my notice on December 1st of 2009. I gave a 2-week notice, and hey, can you stay till the end of the year? Sure, I would would love to help you out. So it turned into a 30-day notice. But in November, before that December 1st, I went down to an ice cream convention in Phoenix. It was a retailers association, so it was all mom and pop ice cream stores. So you didn't see, you know, Cold Stone wasn't there, Baskin Robbins wasn't there. It's all single store operators that were there, and they were sharing what works for them. It was a combination. I would say the crowd was 70% in the business and 30% kicking the tires. So I was in that 30% of kicking the tires. And out of that 30%, you know, which one, it might have been 30 of us or 40 of us. I don't know how many people actually went through with it, because what I found out, and before I went, I was pretty certain that this is what I wanted to do. I was going to take the leap.
Okay.
When I got back, I was less sure that that's what I wanted to do, because I realized in talking to these people just how hard they work. My vision was to open it was going to be called the Custard Shack, and it was going to be in Birmingham, and it was going to be a seasonal business, open 6 months of the year, and I would have, you know, three flavors of frozen custard, which seemed like it was easy. That's easy to pull off, right? Uh-huh. Going back to, again, you know, no culinary background. And, so the day that when I finally made that decision, maybe the hardest part was telling my wife that, okay, I mean, she had known I was entirely dissatisfied with what I was doing, that I was looking for other things. She knew I went down to Arizona to check out this ice cream convention. But when I finally said, okay, this is it, it's probably harder telling my wife that, than telling my coworkers and my boss. And there were a couple people at work who I just kind of, hey, what do you think about, for a couple months prior. The people that you know are kind of supportive of the people I shared that with.
Yeah. No, because that was actually one of the things I wanted to ask about, was relationships, because this is a big deal, because I imagine, and just correct me if I'm wrong, that you made a pretty good living in banking.
Yes. Yes. I could have retired very comfortably.
Right. And banking. Then someone goes, hey, I want to do this thing I've never done before, and I really don't know how to do it, but I want to do it.
I got
it.
No background in
and
it.
And honey, I know we have a family and a mortgage and whatever.
And that's why it gets so much harder as you get older, because you start having commitments. You buy a house. You have kids. The kids get older. They're going to go to college someday. You got to save for your college fund, their college fund. So it just became more difficult, more difficult. But when I finally said that, people thought I was crazy. And it's really, I think my coworkers are the set of people in my life that thought I was the most crazy. Maybe my wife's family would have been thrown in that group too.
Yeah, they secretly envied you.
But they secretly, they secretly envied me.
The freedom that you had and the courage that takes to stand up and say, I would rather be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, actually, when they were coming out and thinking you're crazy, it's like, boy, I really wish I could be like Scott.
And I did through the grapevine heard, even after I left, there are a couple people that were like, he's crazy. He's going to be back in the bank within a year. You know, doesn't know what he's doing. But I think those might have been the most envious people,
sure.
The people that really wish they could have done that, or really wish that they did it. And I got a lot of that when I made the announcement, and after when I tell my story, you know, my first year in business, that, wow, you're so courageous to do that. And for me, it was out of desperation. I mean, I was desperate to do something else, and I was desperate for 18 years to do something else. Mm-hmm. So for me, it wasn't, you know, a courageous thing to do. It was like the only option I had. I was in banking at a very tough time. My last couple of years there, I was in the middle of the recession and the financial meltdown, and my clients were in commercial real estate, and there was just never any good news on the other end of the phone when it rang. So it was, you know, I throw out the term, and, you know, you may have heard this before. It felt like my soul was just dying, you know, doing what I was doing. And if I didn't do something else, I mean, I really felt that I was boxed in, cornered. I had to do something else. You know, whether that's just leave, you know, the bank entirely and then figure out what to do, or come up with this, hey, I'm going to make ice cream. I had to leave. So for me, that takes away the courageous part.
No, a lot of people,
the crazy part comes in.
Yeah. Well, so, what's a typical day like for you, Scott, now that you are, you know, and how long has the business been open?
It's been open, it'll be 3 years, on August 13th.
Okay. What's a regular day like for you?
So a regular day, is for my first year and a half, I was on the schedule in the store. We have a store in Ferndale. It's on Woodward, north of 9 Mile. And, I was there, if I remember the first winter, I knew every regular that came in. I mean, I knew everybody who came in because I was always there. And I'm so appreciative to those faces that I remember. They were in there in January when it snowed, and there was a total of 12 customers that came through the door, literally. And so I'm so appreciative to everybody who, everybody's a fan of the store, but in particular, those people who have stuck with me from the very beginning and found out about us from the very beginning. So I was, but now I'm no longer in the store working behind the counter. I miss that because I miss seeing the faces. I will come in sometimes, you know, on a weeknight or a weekend night when we're, when the store is busy and it's full, and I'll scan the crowd, and sometimes I don't recognize one person. And so there, I miss that. I miss knowing everybody. But what I'm doing is I'm outside the store. I'm, you know, in July we had 72 events outside of the store, from food truck rallies to, you know, corporate catered events to mitzvahs or weddings, or being down at Campus Martius every day with our, you know, in our shack as part of the restaurant program down there. So my day is just full of events. A perfect example this morning, I was in the store at 6 a.m. so I could get our van. We have a food truck. So I could get the van ready to go to Allen Park for Detroit Lions practice, that I organized the food trucks for that. One of my managers and another employee went there, raced back to the store, meet with, they're shooting a video, Yahoo shooting a video today on us. So I spent a couple hours with them. And then in between that, my son and his buddy showed up to get ready for a food truck rally in Troy. And then, so they're out doing that. So I had to help them prepare for that. And then at the end of the day, we'll be at a farmer's market in Birmingham from 4 to 8.
Well, and that really brings up how important it is to really know your community and know where you're putting your business and know who the people are that would be coming into your business. And when I put up on my Facebook page that you were going to be my interview today, someone wrote, Scott is a great guy, love his ice cream, and his involvement in the community should be a model for other local businesses.
Well, that's awesome, for one. I hadn't heard that before. But, you know, from day one, we've been just so entrenched in the community. And, of all the places that we could pick, you know, Ferndale has been a great community for us. It's truly a community. And they've been so embracing of our product and what we do. And it's so easy to give back when you have, you know, such fans and supporters.
Well, and it's a big part of it, because what makes a business successful, let's list off some things of why do you think Treat Dreams has been successful?
Sure. One, we're different. We're unique. You know, we make ice creams that no one else, not only in Michigan, but no one else in the world has ever had a beer, cheese, and brats ice cream, which we currently have in the store.
So keep this in mind, people. Jot this down, because it doesn't matter whether your idea is ice cream or yoga or beer or school or whatever it is. So the first thing is about be different, be unique.
That is like the single biggest piece of advice I give to anybody. Like you said, it could be a widget maker. It could be
anything.
A t-shirt maker. It could be anything. When you're different, it's one more reason for people to come to you. But more importantly, people talk about you. I was so fortunate that in my first winter, even though we were slow and we were still cranking out, and actually it wasn't until about a month into the business, we started doing some unusual flavor ideas. And the first one was a Sunday breakfast ice cream with it's a maple ice cream with waffles and bacon and syrup. And, you know, I kind of stumbled into the the bacon world, the cult of bacon.
Oh, yes.
There's some food cults, and there's the cult of bacon is the biggest. And then the cult of Nutella is probably the most vocal. It's smaller, but there's a cult of Nutella too. And when we did that first bacon ice cream, people just talked about it. They blogged about it. And we got known as that crazy ice cream place. So
right. So okay. Be unique and get attention that way. So what else makes a successful business?
You'll hear this. You'll never work harder. I've never worked harder in my life. It's equivalent to having another child. But it's a perpetual child. They will always be 2 years old. They always need things done for them. Right. I mean, there's always going
to
be something.
Pay attention to me.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. My freezer's not working. Can you fix me?
My lights out.
Oh, one thing or after, I don't feel good today. The weather's not good. So, there's that, but fortunately I've got a great bunch of nannies. That watch this child.
That's a good
that allow me to yeah. go outside the store and do all the events. And so one, there's going to be a ton of hard work. Two, you've got to be different. Three, you've got to give back to the community. You've got to be out there. There's just so much. There are, I don't know how many millions of businesses there are in the world and how many mm-hmm. thousands of businesses there are in Detroit, but we're all competing for the same customer. Someone asked me, well, is there any competition in Ferndale for ice cream? And I rattled off four places that were within 6 blocks. And, that's 6 blocks.
Uh-huh.
And you expand 5 miles. And I like to say that's pretty much your pull for an ice cream place is 5 miles.
Uh-huh.
But because we're different, because we have salted caramel ice cream, and because we're the only one in Michigan that makes homemade vegan ice cream, our draw, I mean, we get people from Ann Arbor, from Chesterfield.
Wow.
I met this woman that lives in Bad Axe, which I had to MapQuest it.
And give people an idea. Bad Axe is about how far away?
2 hours away.
2 hours away.
She said, and again, because I'm not there all the time, I'm going to take her for a word, but I met mm-hmm. her at a food truck rally, and she said, I show up at your store every Sunday. I make the trip from Bad Axe.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday, because that's when we change our flavors, and we introduce some new stuff or bring back, some of the better stuff we've made in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So, you got to work extremely hard. I would say you have to know what you're doing, but
You can learn as you go.
You can learn as you go.
You can.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people giving excuses in their head like, well, I never did
it. I don't know how to do this.
Well, look, yeah. Scott's saying I didn't have a culinary. I didn't have it. But there was a passion to do something different.
Yep.
Okay. And it's almost a little bit like ice cream picked you.
Yes.
Open to those new things.
So ice cream picked me. Ferndale picked me. I mean, that was my mm-hmm. third location.
Okay.
I started off down a different road in terms of location wise. Actually, fourth. That's why I say I'm luckier than I'm good, mm-hmm. but on the good side, I'm able to, and this would be like the last thing I think you really have to be as a business owner
mm-hmm.
is you have to be adaptive. I mean, you have to know, because you might think you have the best idea in the world. You might have the best product. You might think you have the best t-shirt design, but your consumers and your guests are going to tell you.
And
they're going to vote with their pocketbook. I could pound my head in the sand trying to get them to buy a certain flavor of ice cream that is just, not popular. It might be good, but if it's not going to sell, then, okay, you've got to think outside the box. And not just ice cream. We started off, our concept was going to be frozen custard. And that's the name of the company was Custard. If I paid you with a check right now, the corporate name is the Custard Shack LLC.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to do frozen custard. And then I said, well, let's do soft serve too, right? Soft serve's popular.
Add it in.
And then, oh, by the way, maybe we should do hard ice cream. The irony is we never sold one scoop of frozen custard because we never offered it. I bought the machine. I bought it, before we opened, and I just never hooked it up. And
now it's a coat hanger.
Now it's maybe for somebody. I sent it to auction and got 10 cents on the dollar for what I paid for it.
Yeah.
So one of the lessons you learn, equipment purchases and et cetera, when you're not in the business.
Yeah. And so flexibility is really important. And I would also add in there about you have to be very vigilant of your thoughts. Okay. And you were talking about giving to the community. It's sort of what you give, you get.
Yes.
And so I also want to move that up to upstairs here in your head, because you can talk yourself out of the world's greatest idea.
Oh, and I did, like, before I come up with the idea of ice cream, 10 years ago, I had some ideas that, in hindsight, they probably would have worked, but I just never, I talked myself, like you said, you talk yourself out of it. And then maybe finally you have to be resilient. And this really, that's not any different than life.
Are we talking thick skin too? You have thick skin?
Thick skin. You got to be able to deal with rejection. You got to, you just got to roll with it. You're going to have your downs. You're going to have some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows. And I learned this, early on, but maybe after a year, I figured it out, is that you're going to have those highs, you're going to have those lows, but you got to just stay, you know, on an even keel, so that you can think properly and you can assess things properly and you can't react, you know, don't be reactionary, when something, you know, goes wrong. Just kind of keep a cool head. And, but it's you have to be resilient. You're going to have some really lows, and our lows started really early. And even before we opened, there were a couple lows that, you know, could have knocked me out of the game, but we just kept pursuing.
No, those are all fabulous, you know, things to keep in your mind. And you know, I know you're not going to take the word courageous, but we're handing it to you again, because there's a lot of people that now, I want you, as you're listening to his story, to understand you do have the courage to do this. Absolutely, you do. You know, and someone might say, well, I don't have the money.
Right.
How does someone go about getting money for an idea?
Yeah. I mean, you can get into business for, you know, as cheap as a website, and you could be just a reseller of items. You could, you know, open a, if your passion is antiquing, right? I mean, eBay and Amazon Marketplace and different, there are different places where you can get into business for, a shoestring. Mm-hmm. And you know, follow something you're really passionate about, that you have some knowledge of, and see how you make a business out of that. It might not start as a business.
Right.
I don't encourage everybody to do what I did, where you just say, okay, that's it. I'm quitting this and I'm going to start this.
Yeah. There's some thought that goes into it.
And if you have a job, right?
Yep.
And that's always a piece of advice. I didn't follow that from day one. So there's exceptions to every rule.
Right.
But, you know, start it as a side business and see if you can turn it into something that it can turn into, but you know, do something you're passionate about.
And there's always a way. That's the point. There is always a way. Well, Scott, this is the portion of our program where I do something called the RL3, which is the real life three, just three goofy off the wall questions.
Okay.
And are you ready, sir, for your first one?
Let's do it.
Here we go. What bad habit would you like to change?
Bad habit that I would like to change. I stress myself out a lot. I mean, just, you know, dealing with anxiety is one thing that I need to get better at. I would say, I don't know if that's a bad habit or not, but I wish I could fix that.
And now everybody, just a moment of calm for
a moment of calm, please.
There it is. Perfect. See? All right. Question number two. What would you say to 12-year-old you?
I would say pursue your dream early, instead of thinking that you've got to be, you know, one, don't major in finance. Okay. When you get to college, I don't even know if there was entrepreneurial programs out there when I was in college, but that's what I would do. I mean, looking back now, I would say I would go into an entrepreneurial program, or I'd go into a culinary arts program.
What did 12-year-old you want to do? Do you remember?
You know, I think at 12 years old, I wanted to, I don't know if I'd given up on my dream of being a baseball player, but yeah, that was as a kid. I wanted to be a baseball player. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you play?
I played, you know, Little League, and I never played at the high school level, so I gave up. So at the 12-year-old, maybe I realized I wasn't going to hit the bigs with that one.
And moved on to
You know, I could have, knowing that that was my passion in baseball, and I was a, you know, big baseball card collecting when that was, you know, I'm dating myself, but 30 years ago. I probably, knowing everything I would have known, I would have said, you know what, just take your first position out of college, an unpaid internship for a baseball team, and see where that takes you.
Yeah. Good advice. And the final question, we love to find out what everybody's fantasy name is. And we not only want to know your fantasy name, but what would this person's occupation be? So it's going to be the name of the first pet you ever had, and then the name of the street you grew up on. Make your name.
Ginger. Well, this is going to be, it's going to be not a real fantasy name, because I played this game before, but I grew up on this. My dad was in the Air Force. We grew up on an air base, and it was Falcon Court North. So I'd be Ginger Falcon Court North.
I don't know if we want to get to what occupation Ginger Falcon Court North might have, but you toss any out there, what would she be doing?
Well, another street that probably plays better with this game was when I moved from Tampa. I lived on Peach Green. So Ginger Peach Green. And I'm sure she'd be in some exotic industry.
That's a very nice way to put it. Well, Scott, I thank you so much for being here. We got a lot of great information. And please, everybody, let his story catapult you into doing something you've always wanted to do. Even if it's not a business, just doing that thing that you thought I can, or I don't have this, or I'm not enough of that. Please let his story push you in that direction. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
For being with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. I want to remind everybody, don't forget Intuitive You on Facebook. Go ahead and like my page. Thanks everyone for being here.